Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am Bobcat Goldthwait, and I am your guest controller today. Jerry, yes. I'd like to apologize to the ladies who are here for Jeff. But it's me, Bob Scratch Goldthwait. And now, hear ye, Harmontown is now in session.
I didn't even know it was possible for you to do it wrong. I didn't.
You are Pavlov's mayor. You were like, I did mess that up, but
I stood there for a second and I was.
We made eye contact.
What am I waiting for? They know. My name is the show anyway. You know,
it's right there.
Cut through some bullshit. Thank you.
I know the mayor. Who's the mayor?
Yeah, I was waiting. I said
Harmontown, but is it Town? Is that his name? Please welcome Robert Town, the mayor of Harmon.
Yeah. I wrote Chinatown, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
So welcome, Bobcat. Thank you for filling in for Jeff. And you'll find comptrolling is as easy as falling off a log.
Well, I'm a little nervous. Now, by the time you got to the G's in your Rolodex... Who said no? Or did you go by the first name? It was just Al. Weird Al said no, and then it was Bobcat.
No, I swear. I mean, you're a fan favorite to citizens of the town.
Oh, well, that's so nice. Thank you.
I don't have Robin Williams' number.
No, but I'm a little bit like a hobo that jumped off a train in Harmontown.
Yeah.
I wasn't really invited.
Tin can for a hat.
Or yeah.
Like, or you're like the town drunk that sleeps in the unlocked cell, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah.
He comes and goes as he pleases, you know?
Otis. Yeah. Otis is his name.
Speaking of which, I gotta shave this beard and get a haircut because I just realized today, looking in the mirror, and maybe this is something only you and I will understand. I'm starting to look like Uncle Jesse from Dukes of Hazzard.
Right around, man.
Yeah, I'm getting.
You know, it's weird you say this. When I saw you tonight, I thought you looked good.
Oh.
I really did. I was like, I was a little jealous. I said, I wish I could grow a head of hair. And also, I can't grow hair right here. Like, I need a merkin for my sideburns. It's just...
Oh, yeah. Well, different people have different problems. Mine, what I can't do is something that Spencer can do. You get that ZZ Top thing going, where your beard gets longer as time goes.
That's where
mine
Spencer's
just kind of Galifianakis's out like a cloud. And it just I'm flattering myself by that comparison even, because it's just like random hairs will just like send out tendrils, and then I try to take a beard trimmer and it just doesn't. I'm tired of the whole mess. I gotta get off this train, this crazy beard fat long hair train.
So next week you're gonna be without beard.
I'm gonna crazy. You play like this weird shell game with your fat face underneath a beard. Like I don't, or an advent calendar. Like, I don't know what's under there.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to get a chocolate coin or, you know, or is it, I have a feeling I'm going to look like, you know, Jerry Mathers when they did the return to the Leave It to the Beavers.
They go, is that Beaver? I don't, yeah. Did he eat Beaver? Who is that?
Yeah.
That sounded way dirtier than I wanted it to sound. This is interesting. We're touching upon manorexia, body issues with men who are overweight.
Yeah.
I was going to say chubby, but that was a little too adorable. Like I'm wearing this shirt. I don't
husky.
Need this shirt.
We're husky.
Husky. My mother. Did you ever buy husky pants?
No, I wasn't husky when I was still shopping with my mom.
Yeah, I was a fat kid.
I was gangly. I looked like Ralph Macchio at that age.
Well, I actually still shop with my mom. That's why.
No, I still look like Ralph Macchio.
My mother would take me to get the huskies at Sears. That's what they called the fat pants. Yeah. I don't know if they still have huskies.
I don't know. I think they finally figured out somewhere between the N-word and retarded. Like they figured out that husky was bad, like that it was part of the problem. They had a funeral for the word husky.
Mother, why am I wearing dog pants? They would say, my mother would lose her shit about an hour into finding pants for her. You know, I was basically Bobby Hill, you know, this fat little boy. She would go, you're not fat, you're husky. Right. And then when none of them would fit, she's like, I'm going to take you to the tent department. Actual quote.
What? Oh, no.
Yeah. Jump cut, I'm on stage. You know, I mean, I think that describes all of it. Love me, Mom. You know, I think, where do you get that nutty character from? My mother said I should wear tents.
There's two things I wanted to talk about with that nutty character. One is like, it's like when you became famous, your name was Bobcat Goldthwait.
Correct.
And you came out and you would go. which sounds like a bobcat. Was there?
Oh no, that wasn't the connection.
Oh,
no.
Okay,
yeah.
This is great to
thought way more about it than I did.
Was that just an old nickname, Bobcat?
Yeah, Bobcat. I became Bobcat when I was about 15. I'll try to do a quick version of the story because I do get asked that sometimes. The host of
your Jeff stories, like you don't have.
Okay.
Yeah,
but this has an end. So when I was I started doing comedy when I was 15, 16 years old, around that age. Tom Petty, who I don't want to name drop, but he's SpongeBob SquarePants. I've known him since I was six.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so we grew up together, Catholic school, started doing comedy at a local open mic night. A very funny comedian, Barry Crimmins, comes in and he announces that he's Bearcat now and that we're going to introduce him as Bearcat. And us being sarcastic little pricks both go, oh, that's funny. They call me Tomcat. And I'm like, oh, I'm Bobcat. So he's like, really?
But you killed that night, so it's stuck forever.
Well, yeah,
afraid to shake your audience.
Exactly. No, the problem is the punchline is they're Barry and Tom and I'm Bobcat. It's like, yeah, I really gave it to him. I'm 50 now and I'm Bobcat, you know. But it's easier to stick with Bobcat than to listen to people mangle Goldthwait, you know.
Right. I always, because when I met you then in I told the story of Shrab and I met you in Milwaukee and you were still Bobcat Goldthwait, but you were, at least that night, you were...
Had an ass load of it.
You were talking normal. You weren't doing the character.
Right.
And you also were, like, inspiringly jaded. We're not having any of what my hometown was giving you in terms of talk back and reception. And we're saying these really amazing, smart, cynical things. I think you were still calling yourself... But you might not have been. My perception was that at one point, if you were famous for being Bobcat Goldthwait, that then if one decade turned into another, then when you meet that person again, you'd expect them to want to be called Bob or Robert or Octavius or something. But I thought that's because you were called Bobcat because the character was rawr, I'm Bobcat Goldthwait. Rawr, I'm a tiger. Rawr. And I was way off base.
That sounded like the guy who's the gatekeeper in The Wizard of Oz. The wizard's not here. hair. You know? No. I never gave it that much thought. I was Bobcat actually before the persona. Most of my close friends call me Bobcat, but my family doesn't. Like my daughter, on purpose, will be in a mall and go, "Look, that's Bobcat," you know, just to make my skin crawl. And but yeah, I don't think too much about it. I don't want to be like, you know, a guy. I don't want to be Ricky Schroeder, who I'm now Rick.
Right.
You know, and people go, "Oh, please, you were in Police Academy. Now you want to be taken serious?"
Right.
So I don't think too much about it. I'm comfortable with Bobcat.
Speaking of which, there's a story that Schraub told me that I think you must have told him. It sounds like a sad story, but your sad stories are really funny. Cut me off if you either don't want to tell the story or start telling it if you know what I'm talking about. Robin Williams was going to be in some commercial, and he said to the people shooting the commercial,
Oh, yeah. So he called me up and he goes, "You know, they're going to make you do the voice."
Well, he said, Robin said, "I'll only do it if..." Like,
yeah, he brought me on board. He got me money.
Right.
Basically, Robin's a nice man and got me a nice paycheck and took care of my back taxes. And he said, "Yeah, I want Bobcat in it." And then he's like, "You know, I'll only do it if he..." And they call me up and they go, "You know, you're going to have to do the voice." Like, he's giving me a heads up, you know, and being nice. And I said, "For the amount of money they're paying me, I will fuck a Snickers bar."
There's a Snickers
bar. People go, "How do you fuck a Snickers bar?"
Well, like, see, I didn't even blink at that. That's
really?
How small my dick is. I was like, "Oh, yeah." Really? I was like, "Oh, that'll just
put a
small, discreet hole in the Snickers bar."
I guess I should have said.
You could fill it with more nougat.
Like a...
That was grosser than I wanted it to be. That wasn't a cum joke.
I guess I saw it going up my ass, honestly.
So my first thought was I have a pencil dick, and your first thought was you fucking putting things up your ass.
Well, I'm more comfortable with the gay part of my... but here's the thing. There's a caveat with the Mars Corporation that I really... By the way, that doesn't mean I don't like Snickers. I'm just saying that maybe one up my ass would be nice. We're suggesting other ways that it satisfies.
Did you ever hear that?
This is typical me, you know.
Here's some money.
All right, you gotta give it back.
Yeah.
They said to me, I had a short meeting with they're going, "Now, there's this thing where if you get involved in a scandal or if you do something that's offensive or outrageous, that they, you know, you could have to give the money back."
Oh, Jesus.
And I said, "Well, I can't imagine that something like that ever happening."
Did you ever hear the urban legend?
People have no idea who they're dealing with. I'm like, I couldn't imagine anything like that happening.
Did you ever hear this LA legend about who's the guy that created all the game shows? Merv Griffin.
Yeah, Merv Griffin.
Would
fit on this show. He's.
When you hear the words Merv Griffin and candy bar, does anything come into your head that you ever heard?
No.
For some reason, when I first got to LA, someone, I'm not going to say his name because I don't want anyone calling him for confirmation. But he pointed at we were driving down the street. And he pointed at this one distinct building. It's like this circular building that's like a house, like a big circular house on a hill, something. It's like kind of prominent in the LA scenery. And he said, "You know, they say that Merv Griffin lives up there, and that he eats candy bars out of little boys' butts." I just asking if you would ever. I mean, it was so random, and I was like, I guess that's the secret of urban legends.
Will he be remembered for the hours of enjoyment he supplied America on television? No.
And I was like, is that why the house is round so that they can? I don't know. It's like an arena. Or that they like But then I realized if you really wanted to, you know, it should be like a triangle, like maximize the corners, you know. And that's how that becomes an urban legend, because it's just interesting. You got to pass it on because it's so specific. Somebody out there tries to make like a believable urban legend, like, hey, did you hear Robert Downey Jr. Did some coke last night? Like, and no one spreads it, you know, no one cares.
But you gotta
like do something really specific
but
with
we're
something
a weird
really specific.
Culture, because like these urban legends, because if you don't address them, people just accept them as true.
Like the Richard Gere thing.
Yeah, I mean, I really wish Richard Gere would go on a talk show and say, look, I never had a hamster in my ass. Just go look at this face. Do you really think I'm that bored with pussy?
Yeah. You guys will put a hamster in your ass before Richard Gere does.
I need an actual...
Or you look at it the other way, though. He'd be bored of pussy sooner. He'd
so
wear
much.
It out like a
well,
video
sometimes,
game.
Like, rock stars, I think, Tom Kenny had this theory that they're like the immortals. Do you know what I mean? And they get bored with... You know what I mean?
Because there's
hear...
a picture of Brando with a wiener in his mouth. Like, and it's like... And his explanation of it, I think he said at one point, he's like, yeah, it was just like... Because he was at the height of his fucking dominance of everything. And it's like, after a while, I'm sure, you know,
you get bored.
DiCaprio and Maguire probably go like, hey, man, you thinking what I'm thinking? We're the only two people we haven't fucked yet. Let's go in the bathroom and set a record.
It's just a numbers game?
Yeah, or just like an Everest game, you know? It's just like walking over the frozen bodies of every
never...
supermodel in the world and going like, this is you know, you're not invited.
I'm bored. I'm so bored of pussy.
Is that Droopy? Because he's
Droopy
so
Dog.
Famous?
He got a lot of tail. Yeah.
And he eventually finds Yosemite Sam. I only took out enough to win. Yeehaw! I'm not going to do a Yosemite Sam.
I say, boy. No, he fucked Foghorn Leghorn. I say, boy.
So
what are you doing with that erection?
So.
But no, you know what? Never in the rumor mill, Clooney.
Yeah,
because he's. We're all trying to achieve Clooney. I mean, you know.
Yeah, we want him. He's like Cary Grant or whatever. He fits. He's that tarot card that we reserve for one guy. That's like,
He fixed a paparazzi's tire. Come on, man. How can you be that zen, that perfect? Every time he's in the news, it's like he tipped a lemonade stand $100. He, you know, what I mean.
We're gonna find out when he, you know, something's. He's got to have like. Like a trap door under a carpet in his house, right? There's got to be some dudes down there or something.
No,
some,
man, like, I don't want anything bad about Clooney. I want to believe there's
I don't
one
think
person
anybody does. Yeah,
without
yeah.
without. Although the political, the right, the conservative groups hate him, but
yeah. Oh, because he's outspoken, progressive.
Yeah, which is just so insane. You know, all that whole. You know, when I made the movie God Bless America, there'd be a lot of conservative types that would be so angry at the movie and not seeing it, or they just needed it for fodder. You know, I mean, it's not reality, you know. I didn't say you couldn't make a movie where I don't know who was the Bill O'Reilly type that got shot in the face.
One of the Zucker brothers like make like the world's first conservative comedy? Why is all comedy like so liberal and stuff? And he made like a
parody of Michael Moore.
Yeah, and it was like, yeah, he's doing bits in it that are like Zucker brothers bits, but they're the joke is that 9/11's gonna happen again if we don't stay on our guard. Like, ha, 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 ha. Like, why do you think comedy's liberal? Because we need to fucking relax. Conservatism doesn't lend itself to comedy.
But the other thing is like Michael Moore has a huge sense of self-parody. You know, it's not like he's not like a guy that doesn't, you know, who isn't the first one to crack wise about himself. It's like, we gotta take that clown down a couple notches.
It's never gonna work if you're not coming from that side. It's just too much. I mean, I'm sure there's very funny and certainly there's very smart people who also happen to be politically right-leaning, but just in general, those two things don't traditionally mesh, and I think there's a
there's just this weird thing, like when Clint Eastwood went up and talked to the chair, that bit, it wasn't a sign of a guy being crazy. That bit just wasn't written for me. It wasn't written for progressive liberal types. It was like, you know, he was making fun of people that people... I didn't see it as a guy who was nuts. I just thought, oh, these jokes aren't for me.
Right.
He knew his audience. He wasn't babbling. He wasn't insane. And it killed there. And, you know... And,
it did
and
kill there, but
they were really mad that he didn't go out there and just go, make my day. They're like, you're a conservative. You're just supposed to say your catchphrases. Come on, say hasta la vista, baby. That's what a conservative, you know, you're supposed to say that I'll be back. You're not supposed to go up there and do a bit. So I actually defend him. I think he's a very bright man. It just, those jokes weren't for me.
Yeah, I reckon you're right. I don't know. Politics. Back to husky body issues. Back to me. I saw a first cut of my documentary, the documentary about Harmontown. And my big takeaway is I had no idea how fat my hands are. Like I was like, the whole time I'm looking at my big fat face with my stupid scraggly beard and my bags under my eyes and my, I knew I was thinning back there and I it's weird posture. I walk like a trained circus bear. I make these weird aloof expressions when I'm actually thinking and feeling a thank you, sir, and madam, and yet the look on my face looks like I want people to die, and weird fucking disorders facially, and all of this I knew. When I take off my shirt, I know I look like Ron Jeremy or George the Animal Steel, but if he only ever wrestled Twinkies. And won every time, undefeated. But I never knew because there's all these shots of me typing because I'm a writer, and there's like close-ups of my hands and shots of angles of me with my hands in front of me typing, and I have these little Gerber baby hands, these little like little doll hands, and like these short fat fingers. I always thought that from my perspective, I think it's because the fingers disappear into the distance as I'm looking at them. I always pictured that from your perspective, I would look like a cool wizard when I was typing. I just look like a little baby hamster, just poking at the keys with my little baby carrot fingers. And it just looks like I'm just filled with vodka, and I'm just like if you poked one of the ends of my fingers, it'd just be this little stream would shoot out like
a vodka sprinkler,
like a surgical glove, and you fill it with
So you didn't realize you had the chubby baby hands?
Yeah, I have little tiny baby hands.
I can't remember what I think it's the vanity is really funny. Like, I'm diagnosed with pre-diabetes. I'm not going to lose weight. I see myself on something. I'm like, man, you're fat, BC. You got to take a couple LPs off. Like, I recently lost 20 pounds because I saw myself, like, on something.
Yeah. I'm going to shave the beard, and I'm going to... And I got to take it easy on the drinking. That whole documentary is about what a drunk I am.
Don't you think the beard slenderizes?
Well, it's in the sense that a giant shrub slenderizes a big fat monster behind it, yeah, by making less of it visible. I mean, but you're not really fooling anybody.
My wife, the 09, will not allow me to grow a beard. I don't know why.
Well, it's probably, don't women generally, I mean, Aaron likes the beard. I think I finally found her limits and stuff, but she's the exception. Like a lot of women, I thought they liked the little baby face.
I don't know why she won't let me have facial hair. Hmm. Do I sound whipped?
No, do give there's a glass ceiling in this country. Give her something.
You can't make as much as me.
Yeah,
she
earned 70% of you.
Yeah, that's
for
good. That's right.
Same work, you know.
That's
if she was sitting there, she'd make 70% of nothing.
She would have to pay to be here.
Yeah, she'd have to give me some of that water.
Yeah. So that's why she gets me with no... I don't know what the... Yeah, but I think her thing is that she has a fear that I would be a 50-year-old guy trying to look like I was a hipster. I think
that's
her
fear.
Yeah,
well, there's that fear, yeah. That's why I think I'm going to... Yeah. I went to a friend's 40th birthday yesterday, and because it was one of those, you know, parties where you hire one bartender and there's like like a little tiny bar, and there's like 50 people there. And I was like, this isn't gonna work for me. So I went to the liquor store down the street, and I bought a fifth of Kettle One, and then I was like, well, what am I supposed to do with it? Because I'm just gonna become a second bartender. If I put it down, people are gonna come up and like start making screwdrivers with it, and I'm gonna be going crazy. I can't keep it in my pocket because it's a fifth. They didn't have flash size, so I really crossed a threshold. I kept saying, this is the second milestone in my biopic, where long story short, I just took the cap off and was just walking around a party with a fifth of vodka. And at the end of that party, it was empty. Like, it was a milkshake or something. And I was fine, kind of. I mean, I got in a huge, huge fight with my girlfriend, so I went and had another drink somewhere else. And it was like midnight, and I bought some Del Taco, and I probably could have killed 11 people. And I watched Inglourious Basterds, or rather, that's what was on when I woke up on the sofa, and then apologized to my girlfriend because I was like lightheaded, and I drank probably a half a gallon of vodka, and it didn't really. Other people will pass out or puke before they die of alcohol poisoning. I'm one of those people that really needs to actually. I gotta watch my shit a little bit.
Right. Worried about what people are thinking when you're just taking a pull out of this bottle. At a party?
Well, what are they gonna? What's the worst they could think? I think Dan might drink a lot. I mean, that's that ship has sailed on an ocean of something that isn't water.
But if you use the straw, you would have looked adorable. If you just walked around,
like a light up one from Disneyland,
yeah, like a loopy straw, and they go, "Oh, he's doing one of his bits." Yeah. That guy's always on.
I'm gonna detox. I'm uncharacteristically sober for this show. I'm a little less nervous than the first time I did this show sober. I'm gonna see what the effect of a week is. I don't like former drinkers and how evangelical and weird and sober they are. But we had Chris Hardwick on the show. He's been sober for a long time.
Right.
I think you're probably sober, right?
Yeah, people don't know that about me.
Right, because you don't run around Dawson of sobriety.
I'm a member of an anonymous program, so that's why they don't know it.
Oh, sorry.
No, but I'll talk about it now. But I mean, I stopped drinking and all that when I was 19. I'm kind of glad to at this point, because it's 30 years, you know. But I don't think it's an achievement when people get sober, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people make it their personality.
Yeah, and that's as criminal as being drunk and having that be your personality.
Exactly, and I actually find sober people super fucking annoying, and I'm sober. Yeah. But I did have a vacation from sobriety because of my bad back. I was on Dilaudid for a little bit, and I was really I joke about that, but I was terrified of that. I really kind of was afraid that this was going to start something.
Oh, you were going
to. But the weird part of it was I really couldn't wait to get off of it. But I was really high on stage and at film festivals, and I was going, man, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't worry about hecklers.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna jump right into weed. Like, I'm not gonna.
Well, the lot of it is heavy. I mean, that's morphine. I was on the shit that killed Lenny Bruce, and I'm up on stage and I'm going, ask me anything. You know, what do you want to know?
What's how heavy is Pluto?
Oh, no.
Real heavy, baby.
I was like, no, I would talk about anything. You know, hey, yeah, what's, you know, talk about Sam Kinison and your rival, or what's it like to bang Nikki Cox? You know, I was just like an open book.
Oh my God, you banged Nikki Cox.
Well, when you're engaged, that comes up.
Yeah, yeah. It happens. It's like, it's not like a period
drama
where your marriage is arranged and you had to pretend you had sex.
No, but I would, that was always something that just talking about it, I'd be like, you know, recoil if anyone asked. But when I'm on Dilaudid, my life was an open book. I was just, your audience doesn't appreciate Dilaudid, but someday. Oh, you've tried it? You've had it for surgery? Yeah. It's really weird, isn't it? It's a little bit like ejaculating all day. That's what it was like. I mean, without the face. I mean, I wasn't like, you know.
That's the only bad thing about ejaculating.
That's my sexy face. Right? I didn't walk around like,
oh my God.
You know, he's having a stroke. Someone help Bob Scratch.
There should just be billboards up all over the city of you just like with glasses on reading a library book, and it says, I'm ejaculating right now.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Dilaudid.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a name. I think it is just the general name for this Beautiful, beautiful little pill.
I'm looking at my Evernote app. Okay, more Hollywood gossip. Have you this comes to me from an unnamed source that claims to have two sources, which makes it an urban legend. Do Jeremy Piven and John Cusack really have a lot of three ways together? I don't know.
Wow. I
Dateline Los Angeles.
This just in. No,
I thought maybe you knew one of them.
I thought they were on the outs, actually. I thought Piv and Cusack don't hang out anymore.
Hmm.
That's what I hear. I did a movie.
Well, I bet double teaming women probably like tests the metal of your friendship. Like that candle probably burns brightly and quicker. It's being burnt at both ends.
Burnt at both ends.
Bee fungus, Bill, with the grand slam punchline. Sorry, I wasn't doing that to humble you. I was just doing a callback.
I think that
you don't want people to call you Bee fungus Bill, do you?
Bee fungus Bill.
He brought some beef and had some fungus on it.
All right. Did it have any hallucinogenic properties? Isn't that how they discovered LSD? It was a fungus?
We hallucinated before we found the fungus on it that it was okay to eat a stranger's meat at a show. Just brought it in paper bags.
Back to eating stranger's meat. I don't believe they had a three-way. Or, I mean, maybe they have. I don't think that's their thing.
The urban legend I heard is that they're constantly they have sex together, not with each other, but that if you're having sex with one of them, it's like they're the other guy's there, like, and
because John is actually entered like Howard Hughes kind of thing, you know, he's a little like, you know,
he's making airplanes.
He's like. You know, his daily seaweed wraps and just he's just kind of little.
So, yeah, having a three-way with Jeremy Piven.
I don't think he's really too awesome about germs right now and people, and he kind of jettisoned a lot of friends. Like I did a movie with him a million years ago called One Crazy Summer. And,
yeah, you did.
And he was very. We were pally and everything, but you know, we were recently talking about doing a follow-up, like One Nutty Autumn.
Two mildly sane, whatever.
No, One Crazy Summer.
How about Dan Harmon Kills Himself?
One Crazy Summer had a different title, and then Savage Steve Holland was so upset when they called it One Crazy Summer, and he's like, if Warner Brothers was releasing a Woody Allen movie, it'd be One Neurotic Jew.
Demi Moore was in that. Was Curtis Armstrong in that?
Curtis, a.k.a. Booger.
Yeah,
we'd be walking around with Cusack and Demi Moore and all these people that were recognizable, but no one would recognize anybody except the guy Booger, you know, Curtis. He'd be like, Booger! Booger! We were in Massachusetts. So we were talking about a One Nutty Autumn, which would have been... Hoops McCann, John Cusack's character, 30 years later or 25 years later, is now running like a Pixar. Like his dream did come true because at the end of that he went off and became an animator.
Right.
And in this movie, we all band together to come and try to get his sense of humor back.
Before the release of a movie based on different kinds of hardware in a drawer or whatever.
Or no, we try to talk him out of doing The Raven.
Whatever happened to Savage Steve?
Savage Steve Holland directs a lot of stuff. He does ABC Family stuff, yeah.
Oh. He was such a. I mean, you know,
he did.
Better Off Dead was like the, you know, it was.
Better Off Dead is a better movie than One Crazy Summer, but they're both really funny, and he definitely had his own view. But.
Yeah, you know, he was a very, very unique comedic voice at the time. It was, right. I mean, that was like Better Off Dead was like the Easy Rider of my when I was like 10 or something. I don't know how old I was, but it was like, holy shit, this movie is so fucking different. It's so like it didn't break the fourth wall. Wall, but it did something equally kind of like it was just, it had this like mystical realism to it, and it was like the paper boy that wants his $2 and he's everywhere. I mean, like it was somewhere between Zucker Brothers and all the corny ass Rat Pack movies like that are just getting laughs off the fact that you get a boner. Like it was like it had this wild like whatever. Why am I explaining Savage Steve to anybody?
No, but it was the equivalent of like that Zucker humor, but it also had characters that were based in reality, and by the end of the movie, you actually cared about. Which is weird when you watch a Zucker movie, because they'll be really funny jokes, but eventually I'm like, I don't care about anything. And when I get done, I don't have any idea what these filmmakers are thinking about. And clearly, I've noticed that conservative people do very silly comedy because they can't really expose how they really see themselves or the
right,
world.
Right, so a pie fight is something that like a Republican could understand,
they go,
you know?
Yeah, because or they'll make a Michael Moore movie that tanks. The only reason I'm bagging on them is, whatever, because they're kind of dicks. I haven't met all of them, but one of them's a real cock.
All right.
I went in and met with him, and I go, hey, that meeting went well. And he called up my agent and said, that was the worst meeting I've ever had. Why did you send him here?
Oh, no. Who?
Yeah, good luck with Scary Movie 5.
Man, talk about fuck that! We can't even talk about that. It's so sad. The way that like silly comedy started as silly comedy, which was never high art in the first place, but how fucking low it got. Like how it just turned.
Well, it's not
into,
comedy. It's like it's just, these are things you know.
Yeah. It's insanity.
Do you recognize this?
Like, it's just literally like a guy will walk on screen and then he'll just say, I see dead people. Like, that's it. And then just take a bow and walk off. And then, like, it was already fucking with us that the Zuckers would go, like, hey, he's turning to jelly back there. And they'd cut to the guy and he's made of fucking jelly. And then they'd cut back and the guy would, you know, be normal again. But it was like, they were still doing gags and they were still stringing it along with a narrative. But it was like, it's just nuts that people would come in and, I'm get off my lawn, everyone, America. Get off my lawn. Speaking of getting old, I'm going down my Evernote. Let's see what else we got here. I wrote down hacky dreaming because last night I had a dream. Like, what, I feel like now that I'm 40, my serotonin is probably depleting or something, or like so that like the dots that like my unconscious mind is able to connect are getting closer together. And so like dreams used to be when I was 25, if I would remember a dream, it'd be like you're on the bank of a river, but the river has upside down buildings instead of clouds, and there's a crocodile that goes, hey, let me show you what's in my wallet. It'll be like a picture of Brooke Shields, and then she'll start talking, and you go into the picture, and then, but the picture's at your grandma's house, and you like explain the dream. And you're like, wow, I'm fucked up. That's awesome. Like my brain was on fire. I don't remember a lot about my dream last night, but I remember at one point there was a character in it who wasn't a crocodile, and I was in a normal place, and the character in the dream kept going, hey, can I show you something? Can I show you something? And he had like he pulled out his wallet, and like he was clearly stalling for time, like, and never opened his wallet because my brain like painted itself into a corner. I remember being conscious of that in my sleep. I was like, shit, man, this used to be a cakewalk.
What's in there? A train? A rabbit?
If my shame hadn't jarred me awake, there probably would have ended up being just a Python reference in there or something.
I think it would have been better if this guy showed you something and he has dollars and credit cards and his license. You go, and he looks up at you and goes, you're all out. Dan, you're all out.
My dream has no budget. It's just like, hey, you want to go get a sandwich? Shit, this place is, what is it? It's cash only.
Was it in color, or do you dream in color?
Yes, I guess so. I don't know. I've heard that conversation happen before, but you would notice if it was black and white, right? You'd be conscious of it being black
and
white.
I don't know if it's, I think it's more sepia.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not one way or the other.
I just remember the experiences, and since my experiences are in color, and since the things that I dream are kind of the same as the things that happen, except with crocodiles and stuff, but like I assume it's in color.
But I've had bold dreams that felt like reality, and they were definitely, you know, they popped more. They were more HD than.
Isn't it great when you have a really shitty, vivid dream? Like it's one of those dreams that's like so grounded, but it's skewing bad. It's not like, like, I found $50, and then you wake up and you get that $50 smile that slowly fades. I don't have $50. But the opposite, isn't it great when the opposite happens? When it's like you just kind of like, ah, shit, I lost a YouTube video contest or something. Everyone saw my dick or something, and then you wake up and you're kind of bummed out about it. And you forgive yourself. You're like, oh well, everyone makes mistakes, so now everyone knows what my dick looks like now, and I'm just gonna take it a day to take. Wait a minute, no one did. I didn't do that. That's crazy.
Or like an unimaginative dream that's not easy. That's super easy to figure out. Like, you know, you're just like standing with someone you're crushing on, watching a train. I guess I want to fuck her. Boring. What did that dream mean about? I don't know. We were eating popsicles. Me and Richard Gere.
We were in a big wheel and it just kept sober for a week, hacky dreaming. Willow Creek, your movie. You should get something out of this. You had a screening of this movie, Willow Creek. It's like this Bigfoot kind of horror movie that you made.
Yeah.
Where the interesting experiment is there's narrative elements that you shot like a regular movie, but because it's a Bigfoot like kind of a mythology movie surrounding the Bigfoot myth, you have interviews. As if they're part of the narrative, as if, you know, it'd be one of the...
Yeah, well, they are.
But your interviews are actually people. Real interviews with real Bigfoot people who didn't know they were characters in your movie.
Well, I didn't do that out of being, like, mean.
No, it wasn't like a candid camera of jokes.
No, I just thought if I explained it to them, it would have made them... You know, it suddenly would have been very hammy, or right. They would have been overthinking. So they didn't need to know that the actors that they were talking to really weren't Jim and Kelly from San Francisco.
Right, yeah.
But I did, I was heavily into the Sasquatch community. I was fortunate to have, how did I tell you, it's where the Patterson-Gimlin footage was shot. So that's the famous Bigfoot.
You're in a little deep. Oh, you were about to explain it. Sorry. Yeah, so I was about to tease you for a bit. Like, okay.
Oh, for the Patterson-Gimlin. You're a little deep.
You were inside too long. It's too deep cover and operation.
No one went, so I thought, I better explain. Patterson-Gimlin is you've seen that footage of Bigfoot turning around and looking behind behind herself, by the way. It has breasts in that one. I do love the Bigfoot guys that found that. Like, they're sewing the Bigfoot and they're going, hey, are those tits? You know what I mean? Like, there you go.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's six messages from their girlfriends. Like, what are you guys doing?
Leave
you're
alone.
Watching this.
Leave me alone.
Again.
Look at those cans. Oh, you want it, Patty. So that's why they call it that Bigfoot Patty. So I went to where the site was, which is 11 hours from here. And then we go to this town where you drive another 40 miles. And then you go 17 miles down a dirt road. It takes 2.5 hours to get there. And the bottom, then we hike. There's no one around, nothing around, and one of the this Ranger Robert, who is a Sasquatch expert, that's the best way to describe him. It's about 3 a.m. We've seen mountain lions. We're in the middle of nowhere. This guy is my life. Like, if anything ever happened to us, this is how I'm gonna live. And he says, you know, I'm a writer too. And I go, oh, really? What do you write? He goes, well, I write, it's, you know, Twilight? And I go, yeah, I know Twilight. So I write like Twilight, but set in the Bigfoot community. I write books for tweens set in the Sasquatch world. And I go, oh, that's good. I guess, I know this sounds like I'm setting you up, but this is 100% true. He goes, I have my book, Yeti or Not. It's a coming-of-age tale. And I think some of you are calling bullshit on this. Just look it up. You can buy it.
It exists. It's published.
Oh, sure, sure.
Oh, Jesus.
So Yeti or Not. You know, you said something really funny about
I doubt it.
About no, it is because I stole it. When I'm doing the Q&A, I explain it where you said we were talking about picked upon subgroups,
right?
And you said it's like people who love Ren Faire, and then Al Qaeda, and then Bigfoot believers. as far as people who get picked on or people that people don't understand.
Some people are rolling with a couple of Al-Qaeda people as a last
Let's
resort.
Hear what he's got to say. Maybe he's got some valid points.
I mean, he's not, yeah. He joined for the health benefits. It's not... The thing is, he's a great drinking buddy. All right. Sober for a Week, Hacky Dreamin', Willow Creek, documentary Baby Hands, Purge, Return of the Archons. That Purge movie looks like it's ripping off the Star Trek original series episode, Return of the Archons. Look it up and cry it from the rooftops. Maybe they give him credit. I don't know. It's like, obviously, this Purge thing, and I asked somebody what it's about, and their description is the description of this Star Trek original episode.
But I don't know about the original episode. Is it just that you have X amount of time to go kill?
Yeah, that's where Stiller's production company Red Hour gets its name from. It's a reference to their like festival. I think I'm getting this right. You definitely don't want to get
things
wrong. Wait,
you get the kill for 1 hour?
Yeah, I think they purge for 1 hour. Like everything, nothing is illegal. You know, you can do anything to anyone.
But is
you
it
want.
The idea that that we're all just kind of suppressing this?
Yeah, and so because they do this, they're able to be collective and harmonic, like for the rest of.
So
the...
like what the. Oh shoot! The pretzels the Amish do.
Oh the well, oh that right yeah right
yeah
Robert,
a little bit
Robert,
like that
Ragnarok.
Rumspringen.
Is anyone here on Rumspringen tonight? It's worse than a bachelorette party, I'm telling you. It's just one guy with a bunch of dick-shaped cups.
That is the bane of stand-up, is the bachelorette party.
Oh, man.
It is the worst. Right down front.
It won't make you a feminist. It will not. Like, as a stand-up, you will not. Your Alan Alda stuff will not come out on stage if there's a bachelorette party.
But a bachelorette party is not being thrown by feminists, you know? It's not.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it does not bring the woman lover out of you.
Like, and it's always like dick cups and dick
there's all hats. There's all this shit on the table and they're wearing shit on their heads and they're screaming at a frequency that only chimpanzees like know and associate with tigers.
Talk about Chloe.
And then finally you say something like please be quiet. Like America hates you right now, and so fucking vindictively angry. Like during the show, after the show, I remember because I would referee for this thing called Comedy Sports, where you stand out there, that's like hosting an improv show, and you're getting the suggestions, all this stuff, and I'm like the fucking worst bachelorette parties. Kill me.
I just went I'm not proud that I can shut up hecklers, you know, and the crowd hated these women so much, and I finally they're like, you know, kick them out, shut them up, and so I just unleash on them, and I really don't, when I see red, and I come out of it because the crowd's cheering. Because
you're like Teen Wolf.
Because
he's holding a basketball.
Yeah. Why do I have poodle parts and blood and gore all over me?
It's like a scene from that hot new franchise, Yeti or Not.
Yeti or Not. So,
where Blake comes to in the Himalayas, and it's like, did I do it all the way with Veronica?
Don't make Seth angry. And that's the thing. It's like the crowd, we're weird. I guess that's just all cultures, but like people go nuts. They really love that. Yay, because people love other people getting beat up. Like a bar's never emptied because they go, hey, quick, two guys are getting along in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Let's watch them get along. So
I think there's loose change falling back into their pockets because they love each other so much.
So I abuse these women to, you know, shame them, and then I come out of it and the crowd's cheering, and then I go back into my monologue, and then this woman stands up, tears, and she goes, I am not a whore. I don't remember that. You know, also the male equivalent, the bachelor party, even if they're, you know, at a strip club, they're still not, you know, they don't have hats with vaginas on it. You know what I mean? That would just be creepy. You would be going, hey, there's a table full of dudes with vaginas on their heads. Yeah. You better call the cops. They clearly have bodies in a trunk. You get it? I'm getting married. Here's a vagina straw. Here's a vagina ladle. I don't know what you would make out of it.
People would just think, like, are you from the state that prides itself on its calamari? What are you... they wouldn't know what it was. Yeah. Like, how do you make a what vagina in a hat form? are you... Yeah, I don't want to keep coming up with analogies. No one's... I'm not going to make any friends.
Yeah, I think they've already been done. That's...
Jeremy Piven. All right, the Kanye up fronts. Who cares? Kanye came out at the Adult Swim up fronts, and he was surrounded by so much fog. I have a feeling I didn't actually see Kanye perform. I think he was like some body double. Downton Abbey. Well, how about that Downton Abbey? Dog shopping. We went to the dog store. We got our dog coming in 6 days. So Aaron and I went to the dog Petco today, and they have these horrible fucking panhandler people that work for all the different dog food companies, just roaming the store,
shaking you down.
Yeah. Whatever.
I'm gonna shame you here. You went and bought a puppy mill dog.
Yeah. Well, it's a lady outside San Diego. She's whatever. The more I protest, the more guilty I'll sound. She's not puppy mill.
But in defense of actually, I think it is Petco. You know, they do have adoption days and things there. They're not so bad.
Yeah. And I was able to, out of guilt, like give $20 to rescuing dogs just through the purchasing of all of my shit for my gross bred super dog that I brought into the world instead of taking a nice Chinese dog whose parents got shot.
All my cats. And he had a watch. All of my cats are rescues, but one, Peeps LaRue actually is from Petco, and she's...
I know Peeps.
Peeps is in the spectrum. She, doesn't like to get pet, but you can squeeze her. That's really true.
Oh, so, they have those vests for anxiety. I bet she'd love those.
Maybe I should put Peeps in one, but now she's pretty gordo. She's pretty fat.
They're Velcro. I mean, they're not...
So they grow with her? I'm sure. If I was on a plane with Peeps, I'd have to ask for the extra... seatbelt.
Kevin Smith section.
They'd
make you pay for another.
But Squeaky Fromm is my other cat. Detective Carla Whiskerson. And who am I forgetting? Oh, the widow Madeline Perman.
No, I know. I know. Aaron's reminding what the Downton Abbey thing is. Okay, fine. I was drunk in New York. And
Pshaw.
Aaron was trying to watch Downton Abbey on a laptop next to me in bed. I woke up because she ordered a bagel from and let's not get distracted by my pronunciation. She ordered bagels from room service and they smelled. I could smell the sesame. And I woke up and then I was like, I guess I was annoying her and she was trying to watch Downton Abbey. So I kept going like, oh, good day, governor, under my breath. And she was trying to listen with earbuds. So then she would be like, because I'm not like one of those jokers where I'm like doing shit and then saying like what? But I was so drunk. I just started like it was weird for the first time in our year and a half, 2 year relationship, whatever it is. Who knows what color her eyes are. For the first time ever, I was just being like a fratty douche. I was just locking eyes. Aaron, I swear to God, I'm not doing that. Like, it's just British people talking. What do you think I'm doing? You think? And then she put her earbuds back and she says, "You're being fucking weird." And then I go like, "Oh, Governor Joel, Charlie, go to sweep the chimney." And she'd be like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I did it for like 20 minutes, and I was like, "Aaron, I swear to God, I am not. Look at me. I love you. I'm not doing that." And she's like, "I don't understand this bit." I'm like, "That's because it's not a bit." And she's like, "Okay, then you're having a stroke." And I was like, "If you think that there's something wrong with me because you think that I'm speaking British talk without moving my lips at all, which would be a huge feat, and you should give me a medal."
Have you ever gone down so far that you just don't want to bust that it's a joke? Because
she was like so disappointed in me because she's funnier than me a little bit. And so it was like, I was like, "Well, fuck her, then it'll be the longest joke, if not the funniest." And she goes, "Then you have brain damage." And I'm like, "If it's the choice between that and that, fine." And she's like, "Okay, then I'm calling 911. And I'm like, "If you really want
want to call? She almost, and then she dialed the 9 and the 1. I was like, all right, what the fuck? And she was going to, my joke was so bad, she called the hospital on me. She was going to have me arrested. She wouldn't, before she would believe it, she was just going to have me thrown in jail or a hospital.
I was moving, so I canceled the service on my TV, but I said, I'm moving in 2 weeks. Will you cut it off? And I had to explain that I didn't want that service anymore. And they get really, you know, they won't let you drop their service. And I said, well, I'm doing an experiment. I'm not watching television for a year, which worked really well. So then we both sit down to watch a program that we were all excited about, and the TV goes, shoop. They had turned it off 2 weeks premature. I don't know if it was aggressive or what. Call them up, explain it to them. They say, and my wife's explaining to him, look, he's not moving. He's moving in 2 weeks. Can you turn it off then? And the guy goes, I need to talk to the homeowner. I was the apartment guy or whatever my title. But so
the Lord.
So she hands me the phone, and I go, I don't know this woman. Don't turn off my TV. She does things like this to me all the time. If you know my wife, the anger at that moment, I forgot the part that she was on hold for like 35 minutes and kept getting switched to different departments and she was already to kill. And then I go, I don't know who she is. She does this all
the time. So you're saying don't turn my TV back on?
Yeah, just keep it.
Yeah, so, I just saw a different freeway rep. You're like,
I really like.
This will be better than TV.
I just looked at her and I said, before you say anything, I need to remember this face because this is the face I'm gonna see before I die. But yeah, sometimes you go down the hole and.
How seriously do you think
your
wife's
English accent is Mary Poppins? Hello, Governor. You need your chimney sweeped? Hello, Mary Poppins.
Do you think your wife might kill you ever?
Well, I am going to really flip people out because I am a gun owner. And people go, well, you know that you're not going to stop a burglary. And I'm not, I don't have any delusions that I'm going to. But they go, but the likelihood of someone in your family killing you is very great, which is a true statistic. And I go, look, one way or another, I know that's the last face I'm going to see.
better be an instrument designed to take me out fast.
Yeah.
Like, a knitting needle. No, well, that's sexist. My knitting needle.
Hey, men knit. Alex Karras used to knit.
I'm constantly telling Aaron, she's gonna kill me. I love her so much, and but I have never had more. Like, I'm so mean in fights, and she gets so like we're so like equally stubborn. We just get these fights that no one else would get into because they just like all it is just like she'll imply that I did something wrong, like or imply that I hurt her feelings in some way, and instead of just going like sorry about that whatever like which wouldn't even be arguably that altruistic, it would just be a person lazy enough to just not want to fucking I always go like no I didn't, what are you talking about, shut up, you did something worse on Wednesday. and instead of her going like I go out with a dipshit, I was like, he's a fucking baby, I'll never get this 48 minutes of my life back if I go down this road, she goes like no, Wednesday was a different thing, I'm fucking, and we just freaking start we're awful, and I can't live without her. So I know I'm gonna, you know, you're not supposed to say I'm gonna marry somebody until you whatever. But I'm saying I know that, you know, I'm gonna, you know, she's the one for me. But I think that means I'm going to die by murder.
That was the sweetest story about homicide. I'm actually touched, and you're trying to explain that.
I'm saying that
your future.
If I thought it was possible to dump Aaron, maybe the prostate cancer would be a higher candidate for my death.
We're just an episode of Snapped waiting to happen. I don't know. Your audience isn't a big oxygen audience. But Snapped is a show where it's only about a woman that kills a guy, their spouse.
And it's like, it's kind of like blaxploitation movies. It's like, wait, who made this? And who is it for? And, who am I rooting for?
I love that show because it's clean storytelling. They meet, something goes wrong, bitch gets a knife. That's really what they should call that show. Bitch gets a knife, because it always starts off, they met in high school. They were the perfect couple. Like, oh, this is going to be good.
And then they go, when we return to Snapped, Kira snaps. And then they go to dog food commercial.
Maybe I should just edit that together. That part. Steven Soderbergh was making a speech recently, and he talked about how he was really disheartened. He was on a flight, and he looked over, and he saw a guy who had edited all the action scenes out of big movies together, and he was just watching that. It was just CGI porn. You know, he was just watching action porn. Like, he cut the story out and just got right to the car chase, as people say. Cut to the car chase. He did.
Right.
And did you see this speech?
Hearing about it.
Well, it's like, you know, he's this guy that I always, like, really look up to. And you know, and he basically made the speech where he's, like, quitting. Just, like, saying it's not worth it. And I'm like,
it's a losing battle. I got a teacup. It's a big boat. There's a lot of holes.
It's just like, this is my hero. And he's like, very eloquently explains why it's not worth it to make movies and tell stories. And I was like, really.
I keep hearing about
out.
The speech. I never really connected the dots of his name, what he's done. I'm sure I'd be. I'd
oh, turn so out to many be movies. Though,
but his last. He's always just been the guy whose last name makes me thirsty.
But there's so many movies. Like, you know, he's just like, he does so many art pictures, and then he does big box office. And I thought, well, here's a guy who found the balance. You know, he does the Ocean's 11, but at the same time, you know, he does the Che movie, or he does, you know, he's a fascinating guy. You know, he started doing Sex, Lies, and Videotape. He's made a million movies, some that are huge, but he can't justify the carbon print making movies. And I'm like, you should go make a movie with me, because there is no carbon footprint. It's a total Ed Wood.
You're world's first green director.
Yeah, I am very green.
As a director, you will leave only footprints.
As long as the four guys that it took to film this movie recycle, we're ahead.
Soderbergh. Aaron is now. So she comptrolls from through text messages. He directed the Liberace movie. Did you see that?
Yeah, and that was why he kind of. I think he's just.
He's already.
No, because
after you made Michael Douglas like make out with Matt Damon, you're kind of like also just, what else?
What's left?
I'm the Neil Armstrong of directors.
No, but he. I think he was frustrated that he couldn't get that movie. You know, I guess he saw it as a. I could be.
He couldn't get it made in 3D. That was his big.
Exactly. Coming at you.
He wanted the IMAX money. And
You know, I saw the writing on the wall with Liberace. I didn't see that he was going to be around too much longer.
You suspected me?
I did. So we were making a police academy, and I was in Canada, and I suggested to the producer that, I said, hey, you know these bad guys we're catching at the end of the movie? What if we establish them at the very early scenes? Because there's a scene right now at the beginning with these guys breaking the law. What if they're the same guys? You know, I was suggesting a story, and I got berated. Like, I've been in the business for 35 years, blah, blah, blah. You know, I got chewed out hard. So I went to the airport, flew to New York City, and bought Liberace tickets in the middle of the production. So they're trying to give me my call for the next morning, and they're freaking out. They go, and they finally get Tim Kazuritsky, and they go, where is he? And they go, oh, he went to New York. Nobody gave him permission to go to New York. What is he doing? He said he was going to see Liberace. And I did, and I went and I saw him. It was an amazing show. And I bought tons of Liberace. Like, he had everything you'd want, like soap on the rope. Seriously, not even winking. Like, Liberace soap on the rope. And I just came back. I was 40 minutes late to call, and I just handed out all these Liberace gifts to the crew that had been waiting around.
All right. That concludes the discussion portion of the meeting. We have to move on to your favorite part, the Dungeons and Dragons portion. Let's bring up Spencer Crittenden, our Dungeon Master.
Wow, that went fast.
Yeah, it does. And look what time it is. Jeff Davis would love that. Jeff Davis is one of those guys that insists that it's uncanny how many times he sees 9/11 on a clock. I am a dyed-in-the-wool skeptic about this idea.
You
don't notice 9/13, you notice 9/11. Jeff thinks that he sees 9/11 on a clock and a watch, an inordinate.
Does he feel like he's going to stop it from happening again?
Is it like Mothman? But yeah, he just stops there. He just likes to have a little magic.
How did
in his
he
life.
Feel about the bombing in Benghazi? Did he see that coming?
There's no numbers.
It all the time. Odds are. Oh, hello.
They have to give it a number. Hello, Spencer. How are you?
Great. How are you?
You rolled in tonight at like right on the nugget. Like we were concerned, not about you.
Yeah.
I said not, and then stammered, and then said about you.
I think before we go forward, I feel that you guys need to talk about something. I think there's something going on, and let's just get it out. And Spence?
Okay, you were talking about like fat, long-haired beard guys and how that look wasn't for you like earlier on in the show. What's that all about? What's wrong with that look?
Me?
No, Dan.
I want that look. Yeah, Dan's trying to get away from it.
I'm abandoning it. You're 2012? What are you?
I am 2012.
You're so 2008. I'm so 2000 and late. You don't have crow's feet. You don't have like gray hairs coming out of your nose. You can pull off the mountain man look and be an actual mountain man. I look like a troll in the mountain that your people would sacrifice a virgin to just to keep it raining on time.
That was exactly what I was fishing for.
Yeah. Well, good, because I thought I was starting another of my classic fights. Why couldn't I just say I'm sorry?
So why do you insist on being right?
I don't, if I, you know.
You want to be happy or you want to be right? There's two lines.
Well, but that's a case where me being right made him happier, right?
Like, right, but I mean, like, sometimes you'll concede and you go, huh, I'm right, but that person's just being an idiot right now, and that's human.
You think I should have let Spencer be an idiot?
Well, I'm not implying he's an idiot. I'm talking about
your
fights.
You guys need to talk? What?
No. Spencer and I are good.
I'm not sure I like how you've been undercutting me.
Who, me?
I'm just stirring up conflict.
Which makes the show interesting, but I've got a little acid going down in my throat right now.
Yeah, he definitely physically, like, he looks like he could pop and like take off your arm. That's what you mean, right?
No?
No, not at all. Oh. I honestly, when I look at him, I never thought threatening, even though he is a large
Bob says
man.
He thinks he can kick your ass. All right, let's also bring out our campaign co-players, Kumail Nanjiani and Aaron McGathy.
Hello. I'm sorry if we were long-winded. You guys were probably waiting to come out.
No, have you ever been to this show?
It's right.
This is the show. It was awesome.
I always target like 9-ish for to start playing D&D, but whatever.
But I saw the show a bunch, and I think as soon as I get in Jeff's seat, I'm gonna shape this thing up. You know, I'm gonna make this commercial.
Like your movies.
Yeah. That's a slam.
That's a compliment.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is.
Clearly, they're not familiar with my movies. They make hundreds of dollars. Actual hundreds.
They're awesome movies, but, you know.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't make them for everybody. I make them for 50-year-old dudes who were in Police Academy. This really is the Get Off My Lawn show. Dan and I may have to have our own show called Get Off My Lawn.
We'll just have a giant inflatable cane and we'll just shake it like a different thing.
Talking
things.
About how I gotta pee 4 times a night.
Aaron was noticing the hairs coming out of my nostrils on the way over here.
Just
you,
one.
You tried to tuck it in and realized that it was actually coming out.
So
and then you said something like, oh, I can't take it or something. I was like, oh, man. What if she really can't take it? She's 12 years younger than me. She's going to see so much worse.
No. It wasn't that I can't take that you have hair growing out of your nose. I don't know. I guess maybe it is. Now that I think about it.
No, it's not a cute look.
No.
I mean, I can...
I have friends who are 27, 28 who have nose clippers.
Yeah. So. But I... Schraub got one of those, and he, you know, did that thing where you put it up there and you do all that, and he said that that's like...
It makes it real sharp.
Yeah, and itchy. It's like having 5 o'clock shadow in your nose, and then also he's convinced that it just... That, and I don't know if this is a myth,
but no,
guys believe it, when you shave hair, that it starts.
But it's not
back.
Talking to the follicle. The end of the hair that you're cutting off is not, it's dead. It's not talking to the follicle to be like, hey, we're out.
I talk to it a little bit.
How does it talk to it a little bit?
There are plants in the Amazon that look exactly like the snake whose venom they cure.
What? Wait, did you just have a stroke?
There are plants.
I can't call bullshit on that. That's just too weird. You just pulled that out of your ass.
There are like, plants in the Amazon that are shaped like they look like the species of snake. Like the leaf has like little things coming off of it, and the pattern on the leaf like makes it look like the snake that the leaf's juice cures the venom of. It's a prepositional nightmare.
Yeah, that's actually what the paper that was written on it said. There's going to be a lot of fucking prepositions in this.
Just assume magic's real.
Wait, so
the human eye is really complicated.
So do people not use it to get over a snake bite? They go, that's that snake that bit me.
Yeah.
And they go, ironically, that would actually cure you. Really weird about it.
It's a nightmare. I remember I found...
And the plant, the people used to use the plant to get over the snake bite, so the plant very recently started going, maybe I'm the snake.
Yeah.
You know that's what scares you so much that you keep uprooting me.
You killed my entire family for your selfish means. Oh, I don't want to die
really
from a snake bite.
Mutation.
Maybe we're just here on this planet.
All I'm saying is, like, I'm not an intelligent design person. I'm also not a geneticist, and we keep finding out new things about how genes are stimulated and talk to each other, and like what happens. I think it's possible.
I just mean physically. If you just think of one hair,
but
it's
what if,
dead.
But what if the follicle?
So you're saying your nose hairs out of spite are growing longer?
That's what he said.
No, I think they could be. I'm way out of my league.
He's saying it's out of spite.
It's not out of spite. It's out of protection. They're going, oh, this guy lives in an environment that depletes nose hair. He needs more.
That's something that mothers tell their daughters when they're like 9, 10 and really want to shave their legs. Women have this.
Yeah, they warn you.
Yeah, they're like, well, honey, I would let you start shaving your legs, but it's going to start growing back like a black, gnarled bush if you start.
I figured out how it could make sense scientifically is that if you cut the hair on your nose and then now more dust is going in, then there's some signal like, oh, too much dust, grow more hair.
I'm going to end this argument right now.
With that?
I just walked away.
I shaved my head.
There you go.
By this theory, I should look like Dan.
Everybody
got sad over there.
Yeah, they don't know. They're 25, so when they're 35, they'll start to laugh at baldness, right?
Yeah,
it's like they're like, oh man.
Yeah, I found.
What does he do at night?
I found like a month ago. I found a gray pubic hair, and I literally
where
on my pubes.
Oh, but it was your body.
No, I wasn't having.
You were at a bus stop, and you looked under the bench.
I thought like you found it like in a hamper.
Yeah. I was having sex with a grandmother, and I was. Oh my god.
Everybody likes to pull some steel wool. When I find out my fans are old, it really bummed me out.
Is it true? Is
a bunch of age-appropriate women were flirting with me one night, and I wanted to drink. I was like, oh my god, I could pull so much steel wool. These saber-toothed tigers are really trying to fuck me.
Is it true that Jeremy Piven and Richard Gere only fuck old women with candy bars? I was trying to bring it up.
You know,
gerbils.
I actually was at a show, and this woman, my brother had just died, and she said, I heard your brother died. I go, yeah. She says, I have cancer. Do you want me to say hi to him?
Oh, God.
By the way, she was flirting.
My wife
was like, was she really coming on to you with the pulling the cancer card? I was like, she was super hot. She was really thin.
Was she hot?
No. She definitely, though, if you looked at her, she definitely
had a cancer vibe.
Yeah.
I would give anything to follow that woman for a day and see all of the inappropriate jokes that she makes.
Or maybe that's
her
only
line. Can I cut in front of you in line? My kids are about to bury me.
Yeah. At Starbucks, she's like, my name's Cancer. I mean, Amy.
But put cancer on the cup because, yeah, I'm more cancer than person at this point. So like, just write cancer on the cup.
Just now, I started feeling bad that I told that story, but then I realized it happened 2 years ago. So there's no way she. What?
Wait, if she's alive.
She's going to punch your brother in heaven now.
No, my brother. My brother is this crazy biker guy who I don't think she would punch. You know, he used to hunt from his house. It's going to get too, it'll take too long to explain this. We should just, we'll put an asterisk there and come back.
Are you talking about the ironically but reciprocally nicknamed Kitten Goldthwait?
No, my older brother, I spoke at his funeral. He was a poacher. Like when he died, he lived in central New York, so he's a game poacher.
That was only a cartoon villain occupation.
No. No, the warden, his kids would tell me the game warden used to come in the house and bust open the lock on his freezer.
Wow, he was like his Joker.
He had like the actual game warden, he would have to run out the back door. The stories with him just go on and on. We're not going to start.
Do you know if your brother ever watched Captain Planet?
No.
He was a biker guy.
Right.
My older brother, than Bobcat.
Biker hunter, because he... Okay, I'll quickly tell a fast story. My brother, he had this house, and he was living with his family at the time, these kids, and I was worried that he didn't... This house needed new windows and installation, so I gave him some money for it, and then I drove out to make sure he spent it on it. And he did, lo and behold, have new windows in the house. He lived where it was in the middle of nowhere. And I went up, and in the bathroom, I saw that one of the windows were broke. First, there's corn in the front yard and in the backyard, and just no rows. It's just growing up. It's like psycho corn. And my friend Tony goes, he's with me, he goes, what's the deal with all the corn? He goes, oh, you know, it's for the deer. And Tony goes, oh, you help them through the winter? And he goes, no, I'm going to blast them. So
is there like blood on the corn?
No, that's a good title for his autobiography, his bio.
The Bobcat's brother.
So I go up to the bathroom and the window's broke. And I go, what happened to this window? It's brand new. And he goes, yeah, I had a problem with recoil. So my brother was shooting deer on the toilet. And that's not a makeup story.
Just like one-handed?
Woohoo! No, so
I use like my phone on the toilet.
No, he would shoot.
That's extra crazy when you
a rifle.
That rare euphemism for taking a shit, shooting deer.
No, is that really one?
No. I'm pretty sure. I'm gonna shoot some deer.
I gotta go shoot some deer.
I thought I was gonna shoot. I just had a fawn. I really thought I was gonna shoot more deer.
Yeah. I need more roughage. I just shot a fawn.
My brother. I just want to go hunting. Meet me in the kitchen. My brother. So we're leaving, and
kitchen.
Tony and my friend Tony goes. He sees this woodchuck. He goes, "What is that? That's a woodchuck." And my brother goes, "Yeah." And then we're driving down the driveway, and we just hear kaboom. And Tony's like, "I fingered that woodchuck." I go, "Yeah, yeah, that woodchuck's dead." Because you pointed him out. Yeah, you squealed on that woodchuck. That woodchuck would have had a long life, but you pointed him out to my brother. And when he died, the priest at the funeral was like, Tommy loved the outdoors and he loved animals. And then I went on after the priest in church, which is weird. And I go, my brother, he loved to kill animals, Father. There's
a lot of, he loved to do it indoors, yeah, mostly.
There's a lot of deer out in the woods going, whew.
Wow.
All right.
Did you think I came from normal stock?
I would have pictured that your brother of yours would have like a cardigan and have like a den and three kids that he never hit, you know.
So he would always bring over bikers, and my mother would be like, "You can't wear that Harley's the best, fuck the rest T-shirt in my house." So they would wear their shirts inside out and be like, "This is low life. You met little shit. This is big shit. This is Beaver." These would be all of his friends.
Little shit and big shit?
Yeah, they both shits were there.
Are they brothers?
Oh, when my brother died.
Are they related?
No, but when my brother died, I didn't know how to find these guys. I go, I don't know who Beaver really is. What's his name?
It'd be funny if you looked in the book and it was just Beaver. Beaver. Little shit. Big shit.
Shit, comma, little.
Shit, the shit. Yeah, shit,
there's
comma.
There's like three of them and you have to call it. Like,
from, yeah. Are you the...
Are you the shit? Are you from the Hampton shits?
Yeah. And one's just Jason shit.
A family of all deer that have been dropped. or shot, sorry. You don't drop deer, you shoot them.
All right.
All right, Spencer, go.
When we last met.
Do we have D&D music? All right.
I should pant the character sheets, go?
Yeah, I should, because...
Holy shit. I got a plus one versus pussy.
Seeing that I'm Jeff, please give me that character sheet. I don't know. Where did Jeff leave off?
We'll find out.
Yeah.
He'll recap it for us.
All right, go ahead, Spencer. You can recap it.
I'm about to. Last time on Harmontown, our party had been defeated by a squad of blade-armed shadows. Choked to unconsciousness by acrid, shadowy smoke and lacerated by many bladed limbs, the gang was unconsciously dragged off into the darkness beyond the Ebon Gate. Our gang awoke, hurting and exhausted. This is kind of funky. I dig it, though. In the middle of a massive circular ring, crowds of shadows were in attendance, watching the center of the ring. Our heroes quickly discovered they were chained together and anchored to a wall and also guarded by a group of shadow men. Their situation seemed hopeless. They stared intently at a large, breathy-like man who was forced to fight his own shadow. Trying to burst their chains, the group could only struggle in vain as they watched the shadow tear Breffy too limb from limb. The shadow, triumphantly... There's so many shadows. Jesus Christ. Triumphantly took to the stands, and the shadow men guarding our heroes dragged them towards the center ring. They were met by familiar faces. It was their own shadows. Combat is now. Fighting is happening. Battle is... current.
Wow, you kind of synced up as much as possible, even when there's some weird public domain.
Yeah, fuck music. Yeah.
Your dungeon master recap still comes in at a punctuated time.
Did you see I got my special D&D gold microphone? I'm like an asshole at the bar who brings his own like cue stick, you know. I had to switch it out. Visual jokes work
great on podcasts.
That mic is
so much better. Could you just leave it on? It's fairly standard to just leave it on.
He's an artist too, man. All right, so we're all unchained and we're all facing shadow versions of ourselves.
Yeah, you guys faced off. Mulran, you were piloted by, was it Denise?
Yeah, Denise.
Well, you were piloted by Denise and you fired off some arrows. And you hit one of the shadows with your arrows, and then they fired arrows, and then it was fighting time.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Denise.
Hey, what time is it?
Fighting time.
No. I wasn't trying to whoop up the crowd. Is it night or day?
Who let the dogs out?
Fighting time. Get ready to rumble.
I need to know.
It's the shadowy kind of purgatory-like realm where it's always gray and black. It would be more like nighttime, but at the same time, there's kind of like a... Nah, it's just dark.
It's fighting time.
But if it's dark, how can we see shadows?
Is it sepia, like Bob's dreams?
You are a gnome, and you have low light vision, which lets you see a little bit better than your average person. So you can kind of see
that's why I noticed that I've got that ability. So it's all on my shoulders, really.
Tiny, short shoulders. You're like 3 feet tall, by the way.
Yeah, the character I'm playing.
Yeah.
Okay. Because a lot of these people have never been exposed to me, and I don't want you putting
that out. They saw you walk in.
They think I'm Danny DeVito right now.
Do they think you're like way closer? Do you look normal size like Gandalf? That's a perspective joke. Thank you.
And sorry to ask this again, but as you know, I'm sometimes drunk when we're playing. We got our spells kind of reset a little bit.
Yeah, you guys regained all your health and your spells came back. I don't know if it was your chains dissolving or the dark sun shining, but one of the two did it.
You know what it is.
I don't recall. I explicitly said one of those two, and I currently don't remember.
Spencer, what's Coco's status? Is she fighting her own shadow?
You have Shadow Coco, but there isn't like a Shadow Coco doppelganger facing her down. So
okay,
I guess
but Shadow Coco's good, or is she suddenly like, oh, shit, the
she hasn't turned on you yet. I mean, who knows, man?
Okay. So what are we going to do? Get initiative, or who's going first?
Mulrain went first. I like to just go in towards me order, so I'm going to go to you next.
All right. I got this level 3 spell called Suggestion.
Yeah.
And is that the kind of spell I could use to maybe turn these guys against each other?
A suggestion spell would it would make him kind of regard you better, or like take an action maybe, but it won't let him turn on his friends or like do something.
But charm
suicidal.
Person would do that maybe, right?
Maybe, but these aren't people; they're monsters.
So is your mama.
That's true.
Really good stuff.
She's a monster.
And listen to the podcast.
Does she really?
Yeah.
Does she a monster?
No. Listen to the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Spencer's mom. She's
you
lovely.
You monster. Whoop, whoop. She'll hear it. It'll be great. Okay, so yeah, it's still your turn. I don't think you cast anything, right?
All right, fuck it. Then, speaking of your mama, I would like to cast Summon Monster 3.
Oh, your mom's a level 3 monster.
What monster did you want to summon there?
How about that classic, isn't there some kind of orangutan or something? Or how about my scorpions, Keith and David?
All right, yeah.
I'll start with Keith.
Well, okay, so since you're casting summon level 3, you can actually cast 2 scorpions since they're lower level.
Oh, okay, Keith and David.
Yeah.
Bring them from there.
Keith and David launch into being and clack slowly towards the foes. They attack Chris DeBerg as well as...
What? Oh.
Shadow Chris DeBerg.
Please say that.
Going forward, I will. As well as Shadow Sharpie. Keith makes his mark, but David is not so lucky. Keith deals 4 damage to Shadow Christaberg.
Lame.
Yep. At the same time, Shadow Quark leaps across the battlefield and launches himself directly at... No, I'm sorry, Shadow Sharpie.
Go ahead.
Shadow
What's
Sharpie.
Do you want to talk about something tonight? You came late.
My mom's a racist, okay?
Your mom's going to love this episode.
I know.
Is she really? I mean, we all are a little bit, but is your mom more than that?
Like, a little bit more than that.
Like, okay, tell us about this.
She's like, I'm not racist against Mexicans, I just don't like that they all tag our city.
That's more than a little racist than average.
Oh, my baseline might be off.
Yeah, your baseline is off. Has your mom never met any non-tagging Mexicans?
You'd think she would come across some at some point. I don't know.
Those are Moroccans, they're not racist.
Yeah. He said something very racist.
I love you, Mom.
Oddly enough, she loves Banksy.
Yeah. Well, because that's a nice white boy
that's
doing
cultured, it. That's cultured, yeah.
Yeah, that's an English chap.
So you got a little spat with her because you probably said, well, that's not a logical statement, and then you guys got in a classic generational little tete-a-tete.
Yeah, well, in my family, we have this thing where, like, I colloquially use racism as, like, you know, being conscious of race in a kind of denigrating fashion, but the textbook definition of racism is, like, actually finding people of less value. So according to my family, it's fine if you're like, yeah, all Armenians are trying to get your money, because that's not necessarily a terrible thing. It's just like a generalization.
Right.
And you don't see it as racist because it's just like a racial thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Since you've moved out a couple weeks ago, have you hung out with your family?
I mean, my mom's birthday was not too long ago. No, it wasn't that. It was Mother's Day, huh? Whatever. Some sort of mother-centered...
Reason I had to go over there. I don't know.
I really remember.
Harvest of the uterus.
There was pizza.
I love when people say really racist stuff, but I was looking for this house, this place, and the guy who was like run the landlord guy was like, you know, and it's great, and everything's great, and he's like, you know, I love everyone, all kinds of people live here. I'm not racist, except I don't rent to any Koreans because you know everyone hates Koreans. And we were like, I don't know if that's true. Who are you hanging out with?
I knew a landlord that would use the term. He kept saying that he didn't like the Mediterranean's. And I had no idea who the Mediterranean's were.
That's
mer people.
That's nice. I like that.
That's got to be a hard needle to thread in the grocery store. At a glance, you know. Like who's?
I really wanted the place, so I jumped in. Yeah, those Mediterranean's.
Who am I slamming right now? I have no idea. The Greeks. There's a lot of the Mediterranean. All right.
Generally swarthy people. I think your mom is what she's trying to put in that box.
Spencer, can I listen to the show with your mom?
I would recommend it.
This would be a good one.
Wait, listen to this part.
We're about to talk about your uterus.
I got my first have a uterus.
My first two-bedroom apartment I got in Las Vegas, the neighbor came over, and there was a sign in the driveway, like a construction sign, that he said, you have to move that every time you pull into park and then move it back after you pull your car in. I put it there because, you know, the ethnics, they pull into the driveway and they honk to each other, and it's one thing to just have a racist thing in your head, but he picked something up and moved it because he had come to find something that was true, that when he said it out loud, like, made as much sense as a Dr. Seuss. The ethnics pull in and honk at the other ethnics.
These are not stereotypes. You're making it up.
You're making up new stereotypes.
Yeah. You know how Russians hate elevators? What? No.
Black people have huge knees and they love carrots.
There's I'm friends with Jay Chandrasekhar, who's in Broken Lizard, directed Super Troopers and all of those, and he's in those movies. Right after the terrorist stuff, he was walking outside of walked out of a convenience store, and this group of three guys were shaved heads. He was like, oh fuck, and they were like, you fucking towel head, we're gonna shoot you fucking towel, yelling stuff at him. And then one guy walked up and was like, Super Troopers. And then they were like, we love you, and they got pictures with them. So if you're famous enough, they won't be racist to you.
Well, here's the equivalent. For years, I wouldn't even go to a bar or stuff because it'd just be all these knucklehead jocks, putting, me in headlocks, going, Police Academy, bro, I can't believe it. And it sounds like a weird thing to complain about to 25-year-olds, but it's a real thing in my life. So I was in a bar, and I'm walking, and I see the dudes, they're coming, right? And it's going to happen. I can smell. I know them now so well. And they're heading towards me. And they go, Bobcat. I go, hi. How they go, nobody makes dark comedies like you, bro.
Oh.
And I go, what was the fucking point? Why did I change careers? It doesn't matter. I should have done Dancing with the Stars. It really doesn't matter.
World's greatest dad was the bomb.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it
those
really doesn't
broken
matter.
Broken glasses in the library at the, in the toilet.
I think it's your turn, right?
I was still going.
Yeah.
Launching himself directly at Sharpie, Shadow Sharpie's arms are wreathed in electrical crackling energy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Let's see.
Maybe I can learn some moves from this guy.
I can get songwriting tips from my guy.
Yeah.
I can feel the hair. He knows it. It just looks like I'm a cokehead because I just can't.
You should trim those.
It's fine.
My dad and my grandfather have a lot of hair in their ears, and I would always make fun of them. And it's fucking happening, you guys.
Yeah.
It's associated with math teachers. It was always a math teacher thing. Just hair.
That's another stereotype.
Yeah, fuck those guys. Mediterranean math teachers.
How they love to honk. Those dirty honking Mediterranean man teachers.
2 + 2 is aunga baunga. I don't know what a Mediterranean says.
I love olives.
Cocoa butter. Give me more cocoa butter. So hot down here.
So he attacked?
And he misses. He flies directly and lands belly first in the dirt. I'm putting it at Quark's turn, who's all played right. by you.
All right. So I want to cast a spell. I think it's a one, and it's the Dancing Lights.
Yeah. Wow. So Dancing Lights conjures several dancing lights.
I knew that.
And so if you do that, you know, you'll be able to control them and make them kind of move around and dance.
Really, I'm trying to
choose
confuse
what color
and
they
make
are.
The
Are you trying to start a party?
What's I want the shadows to disappear with the lights.
All right. I like that.
That's, all right.
That's not bad.
No, it's great. I like that.
Summoning forth several tiny bursts of light.
Can
you
I
notice.
Sing Dancing Queen while this happens?
I'd recommend it.
They're going to be distracted.
Okay. Yeah. I'll sing Dancing Queen just to distract them.
You notice your lights are rather Dancing supernaturally Queen. Dim. They don't even seem to be lighting up much at all.
Only 17. Oh, yeah.
It's as if the shadow plane dampens lights.
Now we both
that's
look
a drag.
Idiots.
Yeah. Sorry, y'all. At the same time, Shadow Quark launches himself at real-time Christaberg, swinging his blade wickedly. Oh, wow. Striking Christaberg squarely in his jaw.
Ow.
It's a bad place to strike squarely. Dealing 7 damage.
Whatever, you decided that. The die didn't say jaw on it.
I have a dice that says jaw on it.
Do you really?
No.
Okay.
Wow, you sold the shit out of that.
He should have held up his fist when he said that.
I got a dice that's a jaw on it.
With your name on it.
Right. It's got 2 sides, your face and it.
And your ass.
All right, so that happens. Putting it at Christaberg's turn.
All right, well, I don't really have... Oh, I have a poison dagger.
True.
I tie a rope to it.
God damn it.
I can throw a dagger, right?
You can throw a dagger.
Yeah, so I tie it to a rope, and I throw it at... which one's closest to me? Which one's the biggest target?
The closest is Shadow Sharpie right now.
All
right,
I go... Can I just stab Shadow Sharpie with it? Am I close enough to stab him?
You could, yeah.
Yeah, let's just do that.
All right.
I still tie the rope just because I like that.
All right, you stab Shadow Sharpie in the gut with your dagger. The poison soaks into his body, and he takes 6 damage.
All right.
He doesn't seem to be affected by the poison, which is weird. It happens.
What about the rope?
The rope is still attached to the knife, I imagine.
He doesn't seem to be affected by the rope.
Is that so you can pull your dagger back?
Yeah, so I could throw it and then pull it back.
Why didn't it's not a string. I like picture tying a rope that would be like thicker than a knife, like tying it to a...
You should have used bungee.
It's like Scorpion. Do you know Mortal Kombat? Get over here. I'm trying to do that move. Right.
Shadow Christaberg hides among the shadows.
You should have tied it to a boomerang.
I don't have a boomerang.
A boomerang will come back anyway.
Yeah, but you tie a knife to a boomerang.
That will fuck a bitch up.
A knife-a-rang.
A knife-a-rang.
We gotta patent this.
Putting it in. Moraine's turn.
What is Shadow Coco's relationship with Shadow Moraine?
That would not be something you could divine in a glance or two.
Interesting. Coco.
I feel like you're jealous of Shadow Mulray. And like a very...
I mean, she looks thinner. She's so dark.
Yeah. That's very...
Coco. Shadow Coco. Will you approach Moraine and try to get Shadow Moraine and get her to mount you?
Yes.
Shadow Coco doesn't talk.
Well, does she do it?
She's slowly... Are you riding her?
Yeah, what are you hoping to accomplish?
I have a plan, you guys.
Well, are you riding her?
Am I riding her? No, I am not riding her.
Yeah, she walks off away from...
Okay, well, can I tell her my entire plan then?
Nah, she's already doing it. You could call it out to her.
Should we give
them? Then the shadows will hear.
All right, fine.
Well, I'm able to control my voice in a way where she hears me and the shadows don't hear me.
A soliloquy.
Coco, this is my idea. You're going to approach Shadow Mulrain and do that thing with your back that makes us want to mount you. And are we near any cliffs?
No, you're in the middle of a giant arena type thing.
Oh, an arena. But there are walls to the arena.
They're giant walls. They're really far off, though.
Okay. Well, no, that's fine, because Coco's fast.
Yeah.
Coco, you're going to get Shadow Mulrain to mount you, and then I know how we always talk about physics when we're writing. You're going to run as fast as you can towards one of the walls and stop just short of the wall, and then Shadow Mulrain will fly into the wall and surely die 100%.
Yeah, do you have...
Surely.
Do you have that die, Spencer?
That's just a coin flip for that. Anyway, yeah, so she hears your plan, presumably, and is trotting off, and then kind of looks at Shadow Mulrain. I mean, horses can't really communicate very well, especially when they...
You have not looked in the face of a horse, my friend.
This doesn't really have, like, a countenance. It's, like, just dull black.
But it's shadow to shadow.
That's true.
Why doesn't it do the thing with the bag that makes them us want to mount them?
You could consider...
Direct quote.
All right, well, as, you know, Shadow Coco approaches, Mulrain kind of gets jumpy, Shadow Mulrain, and fires off three arrows at Shadow
Coco.
Oh, no. Things happen, you guys.
Oh, no. See, all the ladies in the audience are like, God, the horse.
Dealing 20 damage.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Shadow Coco.
Can we just turn on a light? Does anyone have a light?
That's what Disco Boy tried to do.
That's what I tried to do.
We all tried that. Everyone tries with the light, and it's just the light doesn't work here. It's not. I mean, Jesus Christ! If a book of matches would make you a god here, I mean, it's not like having a bucket of water in Witch World.
Shadow Coco stumbles as if injured.
Oh,
duh!
Putting it at Sharpie's turn.
You know that old saying?
Yeah.
didn't the water melt a witch?
Yeah.
Yes, the water melted a witch, baby.
Don't like being patronized.
Yeah. Did baby make that better or worse? It worked for me. You would have me right around my finger. I mean, all right. She called me baby. You like me.
I have these fat baby fingers and I have hair coming out
of my
nose.
That's all you thought. Oh, went right back to your fingers.
Yeah.
She says, she calls me baby because my fingers...
Because when I touch her, she thinks there's a baby molesting me.
You're being fondled by a baby with a beard.
I love
a baby with a beard.
Gerbers.
I always pictured my hands as like Hugh Laurie's hands.
I thought the funniest thing that you said about your fingers today was that you're like, yeah, like I never seen my hands before because you know when you're standing in the mirror you don't look at your hands, and I was just like, what? I was like, I know exactly what my hands look like.
It's just literally a saying that goes, I know it as well as the back of my head.
Yeah,
right.
But it's not the tips.
But it's flattering because it means that you're not vain at all, which is the reason why I was worried about the nose hairs, because I love you. I don't care what you look like ever. But like the idea, but the nose hair thing, the second I saw one, I was like, well, that's it. There's going to be a waterfall of hair on your nose.
Did you ever think that's where he gets his power? Like if you pull those nose hairs out and he'd be like,
he's a nasal Samson.
Yeah.
To bring it all together, I once saw a baby with nose hair.
Did you?
Really?
Whoa.
Yeah. Have you ever shook
a little person's hand? You must have been in the Mediterranean.
Have you ever shook
with their nose hair babies.
Have you ever shook a little person's hand and their fingers are like cocktail wieners? Do you know what I mean? They're really stubby.
Yeah, they're soft.
And I'm like trying to be cool, but I'm like, your fingers are like cocktail wieners. I thought of that when I met Billy Barty once. Okay, enough with the name dropping.
You wouldn't have to drop that name too far.
I actually, Billy Barty asked me to go be in his pro-am golf tournament, and I wrote a letter back saying,
is it mini golf?
That's what I said. I said, I'm not trying to be cruel here, but are we talking miniature golf or regular golf? And I never heard back from him.
Because he's like, dear Mr. Goldswain, you were trying to be cool. You know what? I'm not sending this letter.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is he got that response from every single person. Yeah.
Well, okay. Back at my brother's funeral, and I'll be off of it. I just wanted to bring everyone up again. One of his pallbearers was a little person, and nobody gave us a heads up. So I looked out, and there's...
That's not cool.
It's 100% true, and I go to my dad, I go, it looks like little Ricky's riding a subway. Because he was hanging on the... And then my daughter goes, he just got air.
And the alternative is like holding the coffin really low.
Or riding it. That's how my brother would have liked
it. Like on a shopping cart, there's a little chair.
He's riding it with some sort of rifle with a scope. That's how my brother would appreciate it.
If you are a little person and you're listening to the podcast and you'd like to come down to Harmontown, I'll fly you out and buy you drinks for the last 5 minutes of Whitfield.
You don't have that kind of money, do you?
Your target audience. Little stomachs.
Your target audience is little people. You can, are you saying because you can put two of them in a seat?
I genuinely feel bad. There's got to be one.
There are a lot of wonderful little people in Los Angeles. I know some little people.
I do too, but I don't feel like...
It's such a weird thing to say. It's so weird that little people is the politically correct thing to say because it feels so demeaning.
That seems even bad.
Let's just
call them Dinklages.
Wait.
My brother is a little person.
Can I just say this?
He's not, but what if he was?
A good fourth of this show is dedicated to you guys playing dwarfs and that you're goblins and little people. So I think you're down with the little people.
Yeah, when they have powers.
They're one of the last...
Nice play on words, by the way.
Overweight people and little people. Well, where was it?
Down with little people.
Oh, sorry. But those seem to be... Never mind, we'll move on. I'm not against them. I love their little faces. I want to squeeze them.
None of this is helping.
I love the rub to their little heads. I once had to hire one to play a pig when I was shooting this thing called...
None of this is helping.
I was doing this thing called Houdini the Pig, where I had an escape artist pig.
Dan, are you going to fly five of them down now?
All right, we can keep going.
Oh, man. Does anyone know about the little person neighborhood in San Diego?
Yeah.
That's a thing. There's like a street that was made by Disney or Theodore Geisel, or I think it's Theodore Geisel.
Really?
Why would he do that?
What if he just stumbled into that area and you didn't know?
Well, you'd feel delighted and joyful. The houses are custom made for little people, so like
here?
The doors are smaller.
So he was like pro Starbelly Sneetches, not mixing with the other Starbelly Sneetches.
Well, I don't think it was like a ghetto. It was like
no wall around it.
No one was sent there.
They had a 2.5-foot wall.
They're just keeping their money little. They're doing what the Irish, you know, and the Italians did.
Well, we really helped this 100%.
Guys, let's cut this conversation short and move on.
Just say this, they were fine with all the bad negative things we were saying about little people, but it was a pun that broke the crowd.
Yeah,
that's what kills it. So that I did it to kill it, and now we move on.
They're fine with a form of racism, but a pun, ow, that hurt my brain. Because puns are really the hardest.
Puns hold up a mirror.
They're the hardest jokes to write, but they're the most loathed.
Yeah. Are they really the hardest to write, though?
Really? I find them hard.
Yeah, I mean, I guess good one. I don't know. I see why they're low humor, because they're like, well, they don't elicit any joy. They don't. They just make you go, you connected a dot. Like,
Maybe they're not the hardest ones to write, but they're the hardest ones to do right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right.
Yeah.
There was a
what's
filibuster
going on with the game?
Putting in that Sharpie's turn.
Okay, I'm going to take a page from my Shadow Self's playbook. And cast. Is he still laying there?
He's still laying.
I'm going to hit him with the shocking grasp.
All right. You find him much easier to hit lying on the ground.
That's what I said in college.
Electricity surges through your arm and flows into the lying on the ground wizard.
It's my comedy.
20 damage.
Whoa!
Shucking back! Sharpie leaps to his feet and, taking a step back, waves his arm. Just the one arm, I guess. Yeah. Casting a fireball spell. It flies into the middle of your group and hits friend and foe alike.
This is the Shadow Sharpie, doesn't
it? Yeah, Shadow Sharpie.
It's a good move, fireball.
Yeah.
You still have respect for the shadow guys' moves? That's good stuff.
Everybody but Shadow Christopher gets hit for damage.
Fuck yeah.
No, you got hit too.
No.
Yes.
Oh, Shadow Christopher.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Fuck yeah. I love to get hit.
Yeah.
Hurt me good.
Okay. Real Quark takes 20 damage.
Oh!
Real Sharpie takes 14 damage.
Ooh.
I gotta write this down. 20. 14.
17. 20.
Okay. That's not helping. We can all say that, right?
Yeah.
Real Mulrane takes 13 damage. And Real... Did I say Real Quark yet? No, Real Christaberg takes some damage as well.
How much?
15.
1-5?
Yeah.
So we all got kind of fucked up.
But at the same time, our Shadow Quark also takes... Oh, that's not bad. 22 damage.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, he's almost dead, guys. Cool. You guys are almost winning a fight. This is awesome.
Can we just bring up earlier fights we've had with them? Make them feel bad?
I guess. That could happen. Putting it at Quark's turn.
All right. So, Shadow... I'm going to attack Shadow Quark. Because I can move really fast.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit him with my nutsack.
You aren't as proficient with your nutsack as you are a sword.
Okay.
I mean, you could do either.
Well, maybe...
Yeah.
Could I hit him with... my six knives?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm gonna hit him with.
Does it really say nutsack?
Yeah, I have a nutsack.
Yeah, it's he uses it to bribe squirrels that he summons.
Wow. Never brought that up.
So it really is a sack full of nuts. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
I thought I was gonna teabag my
No, you have to wait till they're dead. Otherwise, they just attack
when they're down.
Is there a water back in the green room there or something? I'm sitting next to this bucket of vodka, and so my first day of sobriety is not going.
Yeah, the vodka's in there.
Getting my ass kicked by shadows. And
Hello, Dan. I understand you. I'm your friend. I'm your friend. I care, Dan.
I'm assuming you're attacking with a knife.
Yeah, I'm a six knife.
I thought that was happening.
I'm getting super stabby up here.
Getting super stabby indeed. Although just a bit stabby, rather. You stab Shadow Quark with your knife, dealing 4 damage. I'm sorry, 6 damage.
Great.
I did math wrong. It happens.
How much damage do we have to do to kill these guys?
You know, a couple more. Some damage.
He makes it up as he goes along.
Am I wearing
16, technically.
Am I wearing the Cloak of Resistance this entire time?
You are indeed. It gives you a +1 to all saves. Shadow Quark, not using his knife, instead opting for his flaming sword, attacks Real Quark, striking his flank. Dealing 8 damage. Everyone's getting destroyed right now. This is awesome.
Jeez.
putting it at Christopher's turn.
All right. Well, I have a bola. That's like a cat of nine tails kind of thing.
It's like it's two weights tied together by a cord.
Oh, so it doesn't hurt. It just encaps.
It'll do a bit of damage. It'll trip people up, knock people down.
I think you forgot my scorpions
It gives it the Tumbawamba effect.
Nice.
It's the Tumbawamba effect. So it'll pick people up and knock them down.
And then you get up again.
But they'll get up again. That's the problem. It's kind of useless.
When I was in middle school, I went to go buy the Chumbawamba CD, but the cover of it was so scary to me because it was like a weird baby, and I was about to buy it, and then I was like, I can't buy this devil CD, and left it at the thing. Not a good story. Let's move on.
Well, you dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
Because it's not...
I wonder what the other songs on that CD were.
No one knows.
It's all that song over and over.
I think that band was kind of like some kind of like hard, because they were not the kind of band that you'd expect. Like, that was like a weird random thing they did.
They wanted to be the Sex Pistols.
Yeah.
They were very political.
Were they really?
Oh, that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, and then that was what hit, you know.
That sucks.
It's like being a big Who fan, and then Squeezebox gets played on the radio, and you have to explain to your friends, they don't suck.
What did the scorpions do?
Oh, they're going to go after you.
So if I can use the bolas and get one of them on the ground, then Sharpie could electrocute them, right?
Yep.
Sharpie, what do you think of that plan?
Can I use shopping cuts? Can I use shopping grasp again?
Yeah, that's a level one spell. You got quite a few of those as far as I know.
And he got
someone's babysitter's calling. I'm going, what happened to you? You owe me $600, and I put your baby in the oven. Because I was 13 when I got the job, and now I'm experimenting with acid.
I'm saying the show's going long.
Wow. That was a really fully fleshed out person on the other end of that call. They had a whole arm.
They had a lot of backstory.
I'm going to make a request to the Tumblr community to unpack that with pictures.
So I do the bola. And I get one of them down. Which one?
Which one?
Let's do one that has good health.
Good health. That'd be Mulrain, or you can't see your doppelganger, so probably Mulrain or Sharpie.
Let's do Sharpie.
All right.
Because he fucked us with those fireball things.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, you hit him. Okay, it strikes his legs, and it wraps around his legs, and with a start, he falls over, kind of like a felled tree, striking the ground with great vigor and aplomb.
Great. So next, Sharpie, next time you can just go over and electrocute.
Yeah, Keith and David, the scorpions, wheel around and pull up on Quark, Shadow Quark, rather, pull and strike on his surface. It sounded a lot more feasible in my headspace. For the purist, I already rolled the attacks earlier. I'm not just bullshitting this. Dealing 2 and 5 damage to Quark.
Oh, man. Why always me?
Oh, Shadow Quark. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah, this is very confusing. Yeah. I need to get a diagram.
Man, these scorpions suck as much as the band.
Some monsters aren't that great, yeah. But it happens. Do you want another turn, or should we cut it soon?
I'd like to go.
I bet.
Like leave or do a turn?
No, do a turn. I'd like to have a turn.
All right.
You want to shoot? You have to shoot some deer.
Gotta blast them.
Is there a toilet nearby?
Murdered some deer. Don't go in there for 20 minutes.
Seriously, I shot a bear.
I gotta go so bad right now. I'm falling. Yeah. I'm not gonna look at you guys.
May I summon the great and powerful Marbles, the monkey?
Yes.
You should have said no.
Shadows attack!
he'll know what I mean.
Who are you attacking?
We murder the monkey.
Yeah, who are you attacking at?
Marbles is going to attack all the shadows. And can I give him some tools?
Nah.
Give him a little outfit and a tricycle.
And a mouth gag.
Hey, man, that's not cool to monkeys.
Just the one target.
All right. Who has the most...
Maybe the one down on the ground would be... I don't know. I did something and I feel like...
I send marbles towards... Who's the one down on the ground?
Well, Sharpie's down, but Quark is almost dead.
Yeah. Shadow Sharpie's on the ground. Quark is on the ropes.
All right. Well, I guess Shadow I Quark. Could do that. I really believe in marbles. I think that he could do a lot of damage to someone who had a lot to lose.
Sure, man. Monkeys will fuck you up.
Yeah, go for a strong one.
Okay, who's the strongest right now?
Mulrain?
That's debatable. Probably Mulrain has the most health.
I don't know why I'm flattered. I mean, it's not me. It's Shadow Mulrain.
Even Mulrain is not you.
What? Attack Shadow Mulrain!
That happens, yeah. Bubbles leaps atop Shadow
Marbles!
Bubbles.
Bubbles is Michael Jackson's monkey.
No.
I'm an old man now.
No, bubbles are useless. Marbles hit things.
Was there another summon
everywhere.
Marbles, summon monsters? I'm done talking.
Bubbles is Michael Jackson's
monkey. Good night, everybody. No, what if that ended the show?
Do you see how quickly they applauded? Oh, good.
Yeah, they're like...
Yeah. Okay, so he strikes Shadow Mulrain, dealing 4 damage. Just the 4. It's a small monkey.
I have giant scorpions, and they do like 2 points of damage. I mean, what do you want?
These things happen.
It's fine.
It has no tools to fight with. Like, you could kill a monkey very easily.
I don't understand why I can't give Marbles tools. He has hands. He's eager. He's got a great spirit and a great backstory.
He's in it for himself. He's like, he just appeared here. He's going to rip some hair out. He's not looking to apply technology to situations.
Right, but how do you... So we don't have...
He has a t-shirt that says that.
Maybe if I summon a monolith, like, marbles will touch it and 3,000 years from now...
And jump around.
Spencer, I have a connection to him. Also, I have high nature. Yes, I do. Yes, you can't tell me what I have a connection with and what I don't.
I am quite literally, quite figuratively God of this realm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great work, everyone. But I have handle animal and knowledge of nature.
All of these are true.
All right.
You got her to do something. Without that, it would not even have been 4 damage.
It might have not even known how to use a wrench or whatever.
All right.
You know, it might have failed harder.
It could get you could it could it could like if it was fighting termites, it could it, and you gave it a stick.
Yeah,
like, it could possibly like use the stick to gather the termites. God damn it. All right.
Monkeys rip people's faces off.
Yeah.
This is a very little monkey. This is like a foot.
Like a coochin.
Oh, have you seen Jumanji?
That's not a good conversation starter.
And saying it angry, you're on a first date.
Have you seen Jumanji?
Hi, my name is Troy. Hi, I'm Aaron. Have you seen Jumanji?
Terrible icebreaker.
Do you even know? Your car get crushed by a monkey. They'll ruin your dishes and they'll look like they're having a great time. Robin Williams.
Yes, that is.
I can connect dots.
He was in
Did you like that on?
All right. Yeah. Well, we should. I guess we're not gonna.
I don't want to play Dungeons and Dragons anymore.
I don't think you wanted to play when you sat down.
you did look a little grumpy. We gotta.
I mean, are you at the end of your role?
No, I just thought that'd be a funny way to end the segment.
It was funny.
It was funny.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Let's. We
We've long since given up trying to find awesome endings to the show. The end of Dungeons & Dragons is good enough. I do want to have a special thanks for our guest comptroller, Bobcat Goldthwait.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm the Bobcat. And you just got scratched.
And thanks to all the people that we usually thank. If you want the full list of credits, listen to another episode of the podcast, because Jeff usually has the whole list.
Oh, okay, yes. We would like to thank Baby Jesus.
Thank you for the Mars Candy Corporation.
Doing great work.
Zach in the booth. Dustin is usually here, but who's been replaced with a Zoom recorder this week, which, you know, if the show turned out fine, he's in the crosshairs. There's Danielle, there's Mo, there's other people running around doing all kinds of important things. And just thank you to Meltdown for letting us be here every week. And thank you for your patience. We'll see you next Sunday night. God bless you.
That seems sincere.
Thank you, Spencer.